welcome, welcome, welcome
yes.
to the TOVG podcast.
Yes.
With your best friends in the universe.
Oh, wow. We've moved
George
up.
George Weedman, Matt Visual, Jimmy Belikov.
Hey.
We have a
Mr.
guest
Frost.
This week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, that's me.
The uncommon, yeah. but semi-frequent occurrence is happening. We have a number four. It's Zek Frost this time.
Hey.
Exemplary community member.
You might know me as the community leader for TOVG.
Oh.
Yeah. I've been known to be called that before.
Yeah.
Say what?
So, he's also good friend of ours, of mine, and recently just started a little versus co-op Let's Play channel with him and a few guys.
Yes, yes.
That's crazy.
You have something to be pushing here tonight.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, we're having Zach on because he's a friend, and also we have a channel that you should go watch if you like versus shows or co-op shows or video games.
What channel is it?
That would be youtube.com/ Beard Boys. Boys is spelled with an
boys
I.
Spelled B-O-I-S.
Yeah.
B-O-I-S.
Like the correct
Beard
spelling,
boys.
Boys.
Yeah.
Why is it called Beard Boys? You don't have a beard, Jimmy.
Yeah, are you going to grow a beard, Jimmy? Are you going to do a little mohawk?
It's actually
on your beard?
It's not the beard on the outside. It's the beard on the inside that counts.
Whoa.
Yeah, man. The beard is.
The images.
Lives in your heart.
Yeah.
I like how half of the comments I got on my video this week are either great beard or awful hair. I can't get one of them right. Like, I have to trade out one for the other. I can't balance my head.
I mean,
kind of like you're a Bethesda game character.
Oh,
which one?
Any.
Oh, yeah, because they have that potato face technology.
Yeah, yeah. Love the jank.
Technology in quotations.
Yeah. Oh, the story's good, though. It's bad the characters look like crap.
Speaking of
quotations.
Which, this is kind of going a little bit
stabs
off the rails, but this is also a story that's not on the outline, but I think is pretty funny. There was an embargo for the embargo of the Fallout 4 embargo day.
Oh.
Like Kotaku released an email. They broke their embargo of their embargo to let us know there was a double embargo.
Oh my
gosh.
Apparently you weren't allowed to, they didn't want you announcing the date of your expected review publication date until tomorrow.
Okay.
The game launches on the 10th and the embargo date is for the 9th, which is fine. It's a solid day before launch. It's usually a good thing. But for some reason, I don't know if they really even knew they were writing it this way, but they included a line where it was like, feel free to announce your plans on Friday, November 6th. And
I mean, all right.
Yeah, they didn't, though. I mean, they laughed at it and made it an article. But
well, that's good. Yeah, at least they handled it right.
Yeah. By breaking it completely.
Yeah, just be like, you know what?
I mean, when an embargo is like blatantly weird or stupid, I don't think there's any. I feel like it's you're free to throw caution to the wind. Such as, did you guys hear about Dragon Quest Heroes embargo? Or is that what it's called?
Is there an embargo?
I think I know the game you're talking about.
It was Dynasty Warriors Dragon Quest game.
It's straight up like Hyrule Warriors, but Dragon Quest.
Yeah. It's I was hearing from some friends who are playing it.
Dragon Quest Heroes is called.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
That you are not allowed, and this is not like a pre-launch thing. This is the game is out and has been out for several weeks. You're not allowed to stream or show video of anything like, I think it's like, I don't remember the exact part, but it's like you get to a part in the game and then you just can't show anything after that on video or stream.
It's just like not allowed. Like offhand comments about that on Twitter, and I didn't know if I should take them seriously or not, because like, how do they enforce it? Like, how do they automatically scan any given review of the game on YouTube for footage past that certain point?
Yeah, I don't know. Also, part of the embargo, I don't have it in front of me, but this is just recalling details that was told to me by, I believe it was Austin, like Eruption Austin. It was, you can't like edit the footage to present a, what could possibly be a misleading representation of the game. So you have to show like continuous footage only.
Says who?
Says,
do they think they're the, God?
The game devs. Yeah, like seriously, like what, like, dude, it's like a completely and totally basic misunderstanding of what like a video review or video like let's play is. Like, people are allowed to fucking do whatever they want with your game in a video form afterwards. Like, I don't know,
like,
what they're
like
planning
once it's
on stopping
out, it's public information.
Yeah,
like trying to take that video down is like,
hilarious.
You got the First Amendment going for you.
Yeah, it's really silly.
What,
I mean,
what are
like,
they
the thing
do?
Is, the it's, thing is that Japan doesn't have the First Amendment.
Yeah.
Oh, come
that's
on.
True.
They
have
sure
something
they,
different.
They do fine.
Sure,
yeah, exactly.
But,
everyone has something that's the Schmishmendment.
Right, right.
However, the internet is not Japan, nor is it America.
That's true.
So I'm thinking, like, I guess it, but it still like takes a human on their end to process like bad copyright claims, which they can do. They can hire an intern to just go through it. Like Sega did it during the Shining Force situation. Yeah. But now, like, because that same intern is no longer there, or they've decided they don't want to have people at the office 24/7 searching YouTube for footage of this game, like, you can just upload anything outside of their exhaustion threshold.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only reason this didn't become an issue is because, like, a spin-off Dynasty Warriors game of, like, an already pretty, I would say, like, out of popularity franchise isn't exactly, you know.
Yo, man, don't be talking shit about Dragon Quest.
I'm just saying realistically, like, when, like, Dragon Quest is still coming out, but it's not, like, the next Final Fantasy's right out, oh my god, or, like, the next, you know, Metal Gear or whatever, like, it's you know, it's Dragon Quest, and it's yeah, a spinoff, so it's, like, this wasn't a game where everyone was like, are you kidding me? It was just, like, I mean, I know a grand total of two people who have played it, so.
Yeah, I've barely heard anything about this game.
Yeah.
But, like, it, so that I feel like that's why it didn't become a big issue, but it is kind of a fucking issue that, I don't know.
But even then, I still want to ask the important question here, and that is, what are you going to do? Sue me?
Yeah.
Because
they might copyright
I'd like,
claim
I'd
or
like
something.
I'd like to see them try. Right, which, in which case, that's good for the channel. Like, I know by experience. Please, please take my videos down and claim them.
Yeah.
That is a great favor to do for the YouTubers you don't like.
You know what's also funny is that their whole thing is like don't edit the footage. Like, if I do, you'll be able to find it less than if I hadn't. Like,
yeah,
a highly edited video is, like, really hard for auto copyright claim things to find, as opposed to yeah, one that's just continuous footage. With
they
like,
have to match up the frames.
And you can't use any music in your video that isn't just the background music of the gameplay footage.
I think the thing that we're learning from this is that, wow, the thing we're learning right now is that they don't understand YouTube.
They don't understand it, like,
at all.
Videos,
like, they don't
period
get it. Like, it's
yeah
confusing.
And it's so
and
weird
lost
because they make video games, like, they know how editing a visual medium works.
Yeah. And it's like, I always feel like I'm stereotyping doing this, but this is again from like the legal part of a Japanese company. And it's like the same shit that happened, like, Nintendo and Konami. They just, like, fundamentally don't understand how things work, it seems, on, like, YouTube and stuff.
Well, it's just the culture behind the internet and Japan is very different. So
yeah,
I could see why that would be a case there.
What a
yeah
time
anyway
to be alive.
Sorry for cutting in 7 minutes of news into the non-news portion of this podcast.
It's okay. Hey, Zach, what have you been playing?
Okay, here we go. I've been doing Street Fighter V. Like, seriously. Like a lot. Like a whole
okay,
lot.
Okay.
Like, okay, scary
amounts.
So
this
they
is
had
the beta they've been putting out.
Right,
I guess.
They had the beta on PC and PS4 recently. It was a couple weeks back, actually. It was over the weekend. And I jumped in on the PC. I don't have a PS4 to play it on, but I jumped on the PC, and there was a few issues here and there with it, but it was a blast. And
what, internet issues? Or
well, okay, so it wasn't internet so much. There was actually a really weird frame rate issue, and I kind of tracked it down to being a whenever the game is actually downloading an update, it would actually like put it down to like 28 frames per second. It would be running at like half speed.
Oh,
it was really weird. Like your actual animations would be really slow. But you'd see like in the versus screen, you would be like, you know, when you're selecting a character rather, you're like, go over Armika or something like that. And she just like slowly moves and her mouth is moving really slowly, but her voice is like correct. It's all fine. And so you're like, you go in, you start playing the game, and it's, and actually as soon as you get into a game, it's fine. So it's obviously something's going on in there and in training mode, which you go into training mode, and as you're playing in training mode, it's in matchmaking in the beta. So you're like, you can train in between doing an actual fight.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've actually gone ahead and got into a fight, it was completely fine. There was no issues. But there is, you know, I played a whole bunch of that, like a whole crap ton. And it was really cool that they added all of the characters from the first beta into the second beta, because they were only going to have so many characters in the second beta, and then they just on the last day they were just like, you know what, here's all the characters, and they just threw them at us, and so we got to play with them all. But you know how PC is very hackable?
Yes.
So the thing about that is that you can still play Street Fighter V right now. Not online, but you can get into the training mode and you can play as all of the characters because they put them all into the beta.
So there's a backup floating around somewhere.
Yeah.
And interesting.
You can get it and you can continue to learn how to play this game and have a good time.
And,
just
and
so you know.
More importantly, have the leg up in February.
Yeah, it's going to be a
and
fun
I'm,
time.
I'm wondering about that. I haven't been paying attention to the beta. I'm not a super huge Street Fighter fan, but I indulge sometimes. And would going through the story modes in SF4 help out
for Street Fighter 5?
Or would that just be kind of a waste of time? Right. Like how different is it between these two iterations?
It's hugely different. And the reason I say that is because 5 is going to be way more accessible than 4 ever was.
Four was not hard to play at all.
Yeah, this one's incredibly much, much easier, especially when you're getting into the higher levels of play.
Wait,
you're going
to
see
you said
the
4
the...
is easy to play? Did you just say that?
Yeah.
Have you seen high play? Have you seen pros play?
I have, but it's not hard to do. Like when I play against some friends of mine who are way more into it than I, and I still can hold my own.
They're probably
like, I'm
not
definitely
that good.
Not as good as them.
If you can,
which means they might not be good in general, but I can still hold my own and whipping poisons cane around.
Well, you mean mashing? You like? I don't know. Like
no, every character in Street Fighter has like four specials you got to memorize. It's not hard. It's not like King of Fighters.
There's okay.
Wait, King of Fighter.
Let me interrupt you, George.
Clean this up. Clean this up.
I'm gonna clean this up real quick because when you get into the higher levels of Street Fighter 4, it gets pretty crazy. Like there's certain frames of animation that you only have between landing a combo. So generally in like Street Fighter 4, a lot of the combos are starting with a couple of jabs. For like M. Bison's, his starts very easily with 3 crouching punches, light jabs, and you can do those within a frame of 2. So literally 2 frames of animation, you can press that. And I might be wrong on that, but I'm just kind of giving an example. You from there can then link a special, which is you do it as soon as you land the last jab in that combo. You can then do like his scissor kick, and then you'd have to do it at the same time as it lands. So the big deal on Street Fighter is that you can do a lot of linking, which kind of is, it's not as canceling in other games, but linking is how they kind of go with it. And the biggest change between 4 and 5 is that they've made linking incredibly easy compared to what it was in 4. So you can, and they've also changed in how these things are done. Because a lot of the times it used to be you'd start with these jabs, a lot of jab combos at the beginning. But now they've added it to where instead of it being you're tapping these jab button, you have what's called target combos. And target combos are really, really simple combos that you can do with every character that are not every character. I should rephrase that. It's more so that each character has in their command list a target combo that they can do. So, for example, if you're playing Nash, his is light punch, medium punch, and it's just does it really quick. So then you would just link the last bit of the medium punch in, and that's the special. So that you just landed a 3-hit combo. So the reason that's like way easier.
That wasn't even hard to follow.
I play a lot of Street Fighter. Hopefully I can explain it.
Are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, sorry to cut you off, Matt, but I think that Street Fighter V, this was my experience playing it at E3, and now hearing other people saying it is kind of confirming it to me. Street Fighter V is kind of doing the same thing that I was talking about what Rivals of Aether is doing, where it's like, it focuses on your ability to like think through a situation and see like what you should do, as opposed to putting all your focus on just trying to get those stupid moves on those one frame links and all that stuff.
Kind of like Rising Thunder was trying to do, but they kind of made it like really, really easy.
Oh, was it? I never played it.
Yeah, I played a few. I quite like it. It's just I don't know. I just never sticked with it, I guess.
Rising Thunder was a good time.
You told me about this, Frost. You're the one who told me at SGC about it.
I think so. Yeah. It's a good game. It's very simple in this way. It's like you just have like the standard inputs for punch, kick, you know, medium punch, medium kick, stuff like that. And then you have for your specials, you don't even input like quarter circle forward then punch to do a Hadouken. It's just literally a button, and it has a cooldown, which is
combos
nice.
Are really easy to link up.
Yeah,
yeah, it's quite satisfying. But also when you fight with somebody who knows like I guess like the secrets. You can kind of see where the high level play comes in, and you're like,
yeah, it's
"Oh,
like
I can't win."
When there's actually, you know, they're actually relying on their fundamentals and using their abilities that they've learned and learned the matchup and stuff like that. That's where it actually comes into play when you're noticing somebody that's skilled instead of the I have to push this in the one frame that I can. Which is another thing, but.
Because when you go into a high level match in Street Fighter, and you know, like I went to a match playing Ryu, and I fought against a evil Ryu, and he just did like the overhead leg thing and then crossed me up, and I was like, no, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. Yeah. Wait, what you were saying, George?
I'm just wondering if there's like a sacrifice that game feel takes to making the control scheme more accessible, because then maybe there's a little more of a disconnect between some really satisfying, visually impressive combo you see happen on the screen versus some satisfying, tactilely impressive stuff you're doing with your fingers.
I think there is some merit to that, but I think that makes, instead of it being about, oh, he pulled off the combo, like the one where you know, in Street Fighter 4, you can watch an evil Ryu and you can like call out the next move he's going to do in every combo, because it's just like it's very easy to see what the optimal combo for him is. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think that it'll make Street Fighter 5 less about that and more about mix ups and like, all right, so you hit him 3 times and there's nothing that will combo for sure after that. But now it's the mind game and you can go into another combo if you read them correctly or fake them out or whatever. Because I mean, I saw some pretty impressive stuff happen with I was watching Maximilian's Armika video of just like stuff he figured out in the beta, and it was like really impressive to watch him do some of this stuff, and it wasn't necessarily like true combos, but just like it's like the mind game stuff and just like figuring out what to do and when. It made it like as impressive for a different reason.
To point out one more thing, you said that it would be kind of tactilely different for like high level players. Yes, that's probably going to happen, where they're going to be really like, if you've ever heard of Smug, he's a guy that plays Dudley, and he lands the most insane combos. If you ever have the opportunity, go on YouTube and watch Smug do a freaking combo. You'll be it won't make sense to you at the time, but then you try and play that character, and then you'll understand that you will never be smug because he's that good. And the thing is,
I think he 100 to zeroed somebody at Evo this year.
If I remember correctly, be surprised there. I mean, the game does limit that. You can't actually do 100% combo in that, but eventually,
right? But
damage,
I mean, like,
stops
a mix up somewhere in there.
Yeah. That's very possible to do. And so I could definitely see it happening. But if you've ever watched him ever do it, it's insane. And then you put that same idea into Street Fighter V, there are going to be combos that are that difficult. There is going to be stuff that is that hard, but it's not going to be your bread and butters that are going to be that. Not your most commonly used combos are going to be the most difficult thing to pull off. It's going to be more simple stuff that you can more easily do.
It's good. I think it's healthy for the game to have that easier, I guess, threshold, because like a lot of people have to focus on execution so much. And it's, especially when you don't have anyone to fight on your level, it kind of sucks. So you kind of lose faith, right? You know, that's what happened to me, because I've been getting into fighting games for the last year or two or so, and I've been watching a bunch of stuff on Street Fighter and stuff like that. I watch like Gutex and Mike Ross or whatever, the fantastic show or whatever. But and I've been learning all that, and it's just like I'm not good at the game. I'm not good at the game. You know, like my old days of playing Marvel vs. Capcom, where I mash buttons and do these crazy arrow combos and stuff like that. Those days were cool. But like now playing against people who actually know, you know, it's
I would say Street Fighter V is the time to get in. As soon as it comes in, jump in. You're going to have a great time because it's actually accessible. And on top of that, the best time to get into a fighting game is right when it comes out. So I would say,
because that's when the competition is at their weakest.
That's when the meta is starting to be learned. Yeah.
One question. Are you using a stick or are you wearing a pad?
I have what's called a hitbox. It's a stick.
No.
It's a stick in design, but instead of it having the actual stick part, it's four buttons.
Yeah,
all buttons. No. I have an all button controller. Stick.
Wherever you go, you're going to have to bring that, because there's no way some other guy's just going to have like a hitbox.
I mean, my goal really is to just be an online warrior with this one. Because the online in this one, I haven't mentioned, the online in this is so good. It's so very good.
No lag?
It uses the rollback netcode, which is vastly different than what you experience in 4. Where 4, when you see lag, it's like the game slows down and it's like horrible.
Right.
In rollback, it's just that you'll kind of catch every now and then, if it's like really bad connection, you'll catch like, you'll see a hit go through, but then it'll immediately take it back and then show you what actually happened, kind of thing. But it's really fast done. You can understand what happens. And it makes if you get into a really bad connection, it's hard sometimes, but for the most part, everything is perfect as far as it plays.
Roll
you know, if, you, if you're having like a generally good, if you, did you ever play Street Fighter Cross Tekken online at all?
Yeah.
Cause it had the exact same net code.
Oh gosh.
And yeah. They just went ahead and were like, you know what? That worked really well. And we're going to do that for this one. And so they did, and it's working great so far. So it's going to be like actually a good time to play online with Street Fighter V. So that's my goal. Is just go ahead and like get into the online.
Comprehensive. Is there anything else we want to talk about before the news?
I mean, I have been getting into more League of Legends.
Okay.
Oh no, not down that rabbit hole.
We're just going from like one super complicated competitive scene to another.
Yeah. By the way, I mean, I know the cast went up late this week, but my prediction, my like obvious prediction, was pretty much right. Except for I was a little bit surprised when I told you Worlds was just going to be a 3-0 and the better Korean team was going to win. It was actually a 3-1, and
SRK,
they still won,
wasn't it?
But
they won.
SKT,
that's what they're called. I said SRK because I think Shoryuken.
Oh yeah.
So Europe just. Bit
oh
it.
Yeah, I mean Europe was gone in the semifinals.
Wow.
But
way to go, Europe.
The not as good Korean team, Ku Tigers, their whole like intro video was literally, it was like the weirdest thing, because they both had these big like, oh, like here's the intro of the competitors. Ku Tigers, which was the ones predicted to lose, their video was literally like, yeah, if we can beat SKT, it kind of be like defining moment for us, period. Like, it's going to be the biggest thing we've ever done. And SKT's was just like, we're really good. It's like, but I, props to them, because Koo Tigers, in the match that they did win, they absolutely crushed it. It was like, it was scary to watch. It was, I mean, first of all, it was the only loss that SKT had in the entire tournament. The only round lost, which is insanity. But yeah, so it was a good watch. It was fun and interesting.
That's awesome.
Well, also, I'm not in it, but I really want to play Overwatch.
Oh,
I really
want
to play Overwatch.
Me too, dude.
I have this like love-hate relationship with shooters nowadays. I wonder if I would like it. I wonder.
I was watching some gameplay, and it's like, from the most baseline, like simplified version, it's essentially what looks like Team Fortress 2, if you kind of put a little less emphasis on the guns and more emphasis on every character being like a MOBA champion.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty directly what it is. They have their own abilities and stuff.
Yeah, they have like ultimates that they can use, and there's like 20 characters or something, and you can switch on the fly inside the game. So it's like, you're not like,
oh,
not like a MOBA where you're like, you know, oh, I'm reserved to playing the tank or whatever. Like, if you get an advantage, you can like, okay, a couple people switch from defensive heroes to offensive ones.
Do you have to respawn to change?
I mean, like, yeah, like it's like TF2.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks really cool, and I really want to get into the beta. And I'm really hoping that at BlizzCon this weekend, they announce that it's free to play, because
I would totally
get the hell into that game.
I have a question for you, if you know anything about this, because I haven't been following it super close. I just kind of saw gameplay and was like, ooh. Do you know if that game's going to have anything that's going to keep you coming back to it? Because TF2 didn't have that technically, and I was hoping there'd be
not when it launched, at least.
Not when it launches? Or you mean...
Well, I mean, TF2 didn't.
Right.
When it launched. It's like, now they have all the, like,
hats,
weapons that accrue kills. Like, collectible stuff that you find. From what I heard, every champion that you play, or every hero, I'm not sure what they're called. I think they're called heroes in this case. But each one that you play, when you win matches, or when you play matches as them, you gain experience for that particular hero.
Okay.
And that experience levels them up and unlocks, I think it's only visual upgrades, but essentially, like, the more you play a hero, the more it shows that you play them a lot or whatever. As far as gameplay stuff, I don't think that they had any like loadout things or any sort of stuff like that, but there's sort of a level of progression with the heroes. I haven't heard much about it aside from another podcast that I listened to where they gushed about it for like 2 hours.
Wow, all right.
And so yeah, I'm very interested in knowing more about it, and I like the character designs. I think they all look really cool.
Yeah,
you're good.
I was just gonna say the Tracer looks like the most fun thing ever.
Oh yeah.
Go on.
The thing that kind of sort of has kept me away from it, I mean, if it's free to play, I'll gladly try it out, because no other company can really get away with free to play. Like, I want to say Blizzard and Valve can.
Right.
Because between all the Blizzard free to play games, like Hearthstone's free to play, right? Is
yes.
Stormwatch free to play?
Stormwatch.
Their MOBA is
Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah,
right,
it's free.
Right. It was something. Like,
did and you I mix those two together?
I think I did, but I haven't really heard any like big scandalous controversies regarding either games. And
it's because their free to play stuff isn't like game breaking, which I think is a big thing that people look out for.
Yeah, Heroes of the Storm is expensive, but if you want to get anything,
extremely. Like $20 for a skin, like come
on.
Yeah,
it's like, okay,
yeah. I mean, that's same with League though.
Is it really?
You mean the ultimate skins? But this, like,
no,
in Heroes, it's like Heroes is like every skin is very expensive.
I guess it's a bit lower of a baseline price for League, but
yeah, it's super duper out of touch. They showed a reveal trailer, and it looked like TF2, and I was like, okay. I mean, I liked TF2, but I played like 200 hours of it. Eventually, got tired of it. So what exactly should be there? As someone who exhausted and got tired of TF2, what is there for me?
it seems like this is, I don't know. Okay, so they only have like two modes right now, as far as I know, in the beta. But it seems like this game is just going to kind of be a good middle ground between MOBAs and like a multiplayer shooter. Mm-hmm. Low commitment because you could jump in and out of games and they don't last very long. You don't have to stick to the same character the whole game, etc. And it looks like all of these characters have really interesting high skill cap, or at least most of them have very interesting high skill cap things you can pull off, such as, you know, if you're playing the scout or the spy or something. Oh, yeah. In TF2.
The scout, like, is so fun. Like that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But like you can easily see the difference between a really good scout and like a mediocre scout.
The scout's the one that plays like the closest to Quake.
Right. Yeah. And I've from what I've heard, that's another comparison. Just full disclosure, I heard all this on the Co-Optional podcast. So, I mean, if you already listen to that, you're just listening to me reiterate. But they were saying that it's essentially like a lot of the characters were built from people who know how to play Quake and who have played Quake a lot.
Okay. 'Cause
there's people doing like stuff that's very similar to rocket jumping or conch jumping from Team Fortress 1. Very quick movement mechanics.
I'm supremely interested now because that was, now that I think back on it, like a really, really crippling flaw in terms of what like I want out of a competitive first-person shooter. Too many of the classes in TF2 had the giant reticule, the extremely slow movement, just kind of spray and pray classes. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was the scout, I felt completely, totally in my element with a tiny little laser pointer crosshair that just needed to be headshots where I could mm-hmm. zigzag into them and out. And yeah, if there are like comparisons being made here between this game and Quake, mm-hmm. then I'm actually really kind of intrigued by that. Because
yeah, I mean, it seems like it's going to be pretty fun.
A good Quake-style arena shooter does not come out that often anymore.
No, not really. No.
And TF2 in many ways was not even that. They originally planned it to also be on Xbox and PS3 at the same time. And during the first year, which was when I was putting in most of my time to it, you could mm-hmm. really like tell a difference between how certain classes played mm. because of that very reason.
Actually, speaking of, just saw somebody retweet. Looks like Overwatch just got confirmed for PS4 and Xbox One releases.
Oh, cool.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
interesting.
Well, there's something interesting for all you people who own those.
And I was also just saying about how much I'd want it to play like a super twitchy PC Quake clone.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm very interested. I really hope I get into the beta. But I'm not hopeful, but I would like to be in the beta.
I mean, BlizzCon is this weekend, and I'm thinking they're just going to be like, open beta, bitches. You know,
dude, if
I think
they do open beta,
I'll try it out.
I'll uninstall League. That's not true. I won't do that.
I'll give it a shot.
But yeah.
All right. So I think that was a good talk, a good discussion. We really, really let our passions show through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
But soon, no, it's fine, because soon we're going to have to go through the slog, the real...
Oh, no.
Real depressing. Actually, there are a couple in this week. A little somber bit of news stories this week after the break.
I scrolled down and I saw Konami on the time on
they
their
keep
timeline.
Coming,
so
though, like they don't.
It's not our fault.
Yeah, like how would we not report on a major closure of a major video game studio after this break?
Morning, kids. It's a Pac-Man day with my crispy corn cereal coming your way.
It's Pac-Man
with marshmallows.
Delicious.
I'm Inky.
I'm Blinky.
I'm Pinky.
I'm Clyde.
We're the marshmallows
you'll find inside of Pac-Man.
Wow, he's chomping the Pac Puffs.
What?
And Blinky, too.
He's marshmallow. You can chomp him, too.
In Pac-Man.
Part of this nutritious breakfast.
It's Pac-Man
with marshmallows. Delicious.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the Tavgal cast. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you.
Okay,
dang,
I'm okay with
roasted.
That. No, it's not. It's not like I wasn't intended to talk normal or something like I'm now.
Yeah.
So for the very first topic this week, we are rolling over something from last week. This is actually quite relevant for Atlanta area. I was at a Halloween party and I heard some of the people talking about this. Paradox has purchased White Wolf. White Wolf, based in Stone Mountain. They're previously owned by a branch of EVE Online's company, CCP, that was also headquartered in Atlanta. They are now, I guess, I don't know if they're moving the headquarters or whatnot, but they are owned by the Swedish now at Paradox Interactive, who have acquired them in a move that I think is kind of okay, because CCP wasn't really doing a lot with them. If you're familiar with tabletop CRPG brands, White Wolf owns the intellectual properties for Vampire the Masquerade and World of Darkness. There was a really, really great Vampire the Masquerade FPS RPG put out in 2003, and then they were planning to do a World of Darkness MMO following that game up that got caught in development hell and then canceled. And that happened about, I want to say a year ago, but it might have been 2 years ago. And I, strangely enough, have connection, not really, the most tenuous of connections, friends of friends who are actually working on that project and got laid off. And that's kind of why I'm okay with the acquisition, because I have a feeling that their new company Paradox might be doing more with them than CCP. CCP is more or less like the EVE company. Paradox, on the other hand, has its fingers in a whole lot of different pies and keeps managing and publishing and developing in-house many different franchises all at the same time. They're very, very busy.
Yeah, it's actually pretty hard for EVE to do, or CCP to do anything other than EVE at the moment, it seems.
EVE is huge, and I'm sure they're busy as well just managing that. But at the same time, it's not like you go on their website and see a lineup of multiple projects going on like you do with Paradox. Mm-hmm. Paradox is one of the least hateable. They're a pretty good publisher in terms of how things have been and going in the game space lately.
What have they published recently? Like, what's some things that I'm not big on publishers or developers? I don't really know much.
A lot of the 4X Grand Strategy franchises, Crusader Kings, Europa Universalis, and there's a new one of those coming out every year. Not in the same franchise. They alternate every other year. They also do the Magicka games.
It's
like kind of like,
oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
A lot of niche games.
I was wondering, like, where did... Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of like the middle tier single A, double A PC only releases that are kind of for like weird PC niche franchises. They also put out the Mountain Blade franchise, which is getting a big sequel.
Oh, really?
If not by the end of the year, then throughout next year. Knights of Pen and Paper. Cities Skylines.
That kind of, to say this one, but this kind of kills the World of Darkness MMO, doesn't it?
Which I'm okay with. Yeah. I don't know. I rarely get excited for MMOs anyway, but I totally wouldn't mind like a solid RPG, like done in the style of Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines for the World of Darkness IP would be like great. But, you know, I don't want to get hyped about anything until their actual projects get hyped about. Right. And also, this is our next story, which we were talking about before the break, and that is Konami has closed down Kojima Productions LA, which may or may not be called Konami Productions LA, depending on who you ask and when you ask. This was rumored on, I believe it was November 2nd, by George Brizard and Sam Thompson from 3D Realms and Naughty Dog. Polygon later confirmed it after emailing Konami themselves the day after and got the official news. So they put out the LA studio was exclusively working on the multiplayer component of Metal Gear Solid 5, which is out on consoles, was not received favorably, but is out and done and pretty much complete. However, the reason why this is really, really leery news if you have the PC version of the game is that they haven't launched the multiplayer portion of the PC game. They were always scheduled to put that out in January, and the studio that's managing that side of the game is like stripped down to a skeleton staff and incorporated into a centralized unit is what their quote says that Polygon got, which does not bode well if you're looking forward to playing Metal Gear Online on the PC.
Yeah, I think that's dead.
It's I still have hope, though. I mean, I can hope that maybe they, I don't know, press the port button just about a couple weeks ago and just have to like polish up the finishing stages now at this point.
Well, even if they do, there's not going to be anything there that support it.
Which is why it might be okay for like the first week or two. But in terms of things like anti-cheat and patches, it's not looking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be the wild, wild west out there.
It's not going to
be great.
Especially
on PC.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, I guess it's because I don't have ties to many Konami IPs, but I would rather that they just fuck off sooner and then like, cause they've been like, oh, we're moving on to other things aside from console video games or like home PC video games.
They keep saying so like, they are, but they're not.
Yeah. Just fucking do it already. Get it over with. Leave. I don't want to talk about Konami anymore because it just makes me angry. And then when they're gone and then video games have settled down, let's say like a decade from now, because I feel like they're a jealous and angry company.
Is that what?
And it'll take them a while to settle. Once they've settled, then people can buy their IPs and make good shit off of it.
I really hope it doesn't take 10 years for that, though.
I mean, I hope so as well. I mean, if it was in my hands, I'd be like, none of the IPs belong to Konami anymore. They're up for grabs for anybody who wants to make good things, and Konami can fuck off. But, you know, obviously, I'm not calling the shots. I wish I was.
I mean,
but,
we could still get Bloodstained, though, so that could be good.
Right, but, like, it's, you know, Bloodstained is good, but I want to see the Silent Hill IP go somewhere that will be pleasing to the fans. I want to see Castlevania do the same thing. I want to see... Don't they own, like, Contra?
Yes.
Like, yeah. Let's see the fucking modern Contra... I don't know.
I guess my thought is
cool
like,
shit that they're not going to fucking do.
I guess my thought is we don't need Konami anymore. Even for those things, we just give it a different title and then we're good. Let's just make it
There's still
somebody else.
A Silent Hill shaped hole in my heart that has yet to be filled.
Like there could be new IPs, definitely. I mean, I'm always open to new IPs. However, I would love to see like a super cool like HD Wii U remake of Castlevania 1 that plays almost identical but just has like super great graphics, you know?
That would be
pretty
cool.
Konami's never gonna fucking do that. No. Like, but somebody else might.
And then they shut it down.
I mean, somebody else might with the rights.
You mean with the rights, right.
And it's just sad that they might not actually have those rights for a whole 10 years. Because... You did say a whole decade, and I hate imagining that, but it's easy to imagine that with Konami.
Yeah, that is my cynical, pessimistic time.
Like a lot of the really weirder moves that they've been doing the past year, like stripping Kojima's name off of the boxes on the websites for a week, renaming the studios, and resetting the employee's email address. Like it's weird stuff that seems personal,
very petty.
Like it's guided by someone's personality rather than cold, irrational economic math.
Slept with someone's wife or something.
Maybe. I don't know. It seems like a grudge.
Kojima is an attractive man.
Yeah. Hey, I'll get down with that.
He's got those beautiful JF Ray eyewear available for purchase now. Okay, we got to move on. There's actually not a lot to go through. We're going in a nice clip. We got another big acquisition happening this week. This one's super weird. I can totally understand an active games publisher wanting to buy an inactive games rights holder with cool rights. I cannot really... see the logic behind Activision, on the other hand, buying King for $5.9 billion.
Yeah. And wow. King made Candy Crush, if you yes, guys didn't know that.
Which is very lucrative, but is it $6 billion lucrative?
Like, maybe 2 years ago it was.
Kotaku provided some statistics. They say Candy Crush has earned $1.3 billion in revenue in 2014 alone, which still means that they're short by a lot of billions of dollars.
Well, yeah, and looking at that, like, unless they grow that profit four times next year to pay out to Activision, then I like then this payout is going to either be a long time coming or it's not going to happen at all. And I think it's not going to happen at all, because I think Candy Crush, while it lasted longer than what Mafia Wars or whatever the fuck Zynga made,
yeah,
like, it's going to fall eventually. It's not going to be around all the time.
Striking
like,
it big with these kind of games is such dumb luck.
Not only that, but keeping them big is pretty much futile. I don't think, or futile, not feudal, like well, feudal Japan, but
the thing is on this is like,
fertile.
The thing is on this with Candy Crush being bought is that they now own the right to Candy Crush itself, which is in yeah. itself a name. So if they made Candy Crush 2, they could continue to push that to the older people that I know that play on iPhones, and they would know the name and they would think, oh, there's another one that could have cooler stuff in it. You know,
Candy Crush Warcraft.
I mean,
Candy Craft,
the movie, mm-hmm.
Craft.
Yeah, Craft. Crush Craft.
Just wait for
the
gritty dystopian reboot of Candy Crush. That's like, it's like the next fucking Willy Wonka movie. Johnny Depp in it.
Rated PG-13.
Oh, they say fuck once in it.
One nipple is allowed to be in one scene.
One guy nipple.
But yeah, Candy Crush, lucrative name and everything. I just, $6 billion is so much money.
It is.
I can't imagine looks like.
Like I said, if they would have made this investment, not this much money, I think it's just stupid across the board for $6 billion, but an investment in buying King maybe 2 years ago,
oh,
there would have been profits in it for them. I think this is a massive gamble.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of massive gambles, Blizzard has been gambling the rights of a Warcraft movie for a hell of a long time.
I don't know if that was a good segue.
Well, yeah. it's still...
Whatever, we're here now.
We're talking about the Warcraft movie, and this is a project that kind of sort of has been in development hell. Like, I think I remember hearing about this project back in like 2007, and I'm gonna Google it really quickly and try to get a very like brief, super fast history lesson.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Maybe it was the Halo movie. What was the one that was rumored forever ago to be
Halo's
directed by Peter
one.
Jackson?
Yeah,
Peter Jackson. It was the Halo movie, and then we got
that's right, and that's how District 9 was made, right, from the experiences and the assets of the Halo movie.
Oh, really?
And, and the marketing campaign they did for Halo 3. those little shorts that showed the little battle dioramas of aliens going meh, where Peter Jackson had a little bit of his finger in those. But I'm looking at the Wikipedia article right now. In May 9th, 2006, Blizzard Entertainment and Legendary Pictures announced they would develop a live-action Warcraft movie.
2006?
So fast forward 9 years. And on the Legendary YouTube channel, who apparently don't have that much of a 88,000 subscribers. Anyways, on 2 days ago, in 9 years after they officially announced this movie, we have a teaser trailer. Just 15 seconds. And the weirdest
it's a good 15
thing,
seconds,
it is
though.
A damn good 15 seconds.
to be fair, we had, I think it was a month ago. Maybe you guys missed it. I like saw it and I didn't post about it, but I think it was Lee first who showed it to me. They actually had like a hint that the WoW movie or the Warcraft movie was being made, they released a one of those like fancy ass 3D YouTube videos where you can like 360 the 360 YouTube videos where you can like drag the camera around. Mm-hmm. Have you seen those?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it was like you're on a griffin flying above Stormwind.
Oh, cool.
And there's a shot, that first shot is of a guy jumping onto a griffin.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, so, oh, it like, looks so good.
It does.
Hang on. Let me see if I can
like, spread his legs
out.
This
is such good CGI. I don't know how, like, I'm having that problem where I can't tell if it's CGI or not if I squint, even though everyone still has cartoony World of Warcraft shoulder pads.
I want to point
out.
You know,
if they took those out, you know, you wouldn't, it wouldn't look right.
Let's see. Looks so I'm trying to get to the exact spot here.
How did they do that?
Okay. Here's, I'm linking it to you guys so you can watch along. First of all, the Skies of Azeroth video where it shows Stormwind is fucking awesome. Looks great. And it is on Legendary's YouTube channel. Yeah. And it was 3 months ago that this was put out.
So, wow, this might have been the real teaser.
Yeah.
This looks good, too. Oh, look at the feathers.
Someone, top comment, it says, if you watch on your smartphone, you can move your phone around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
like, to angle the camera. That's fucking cool.
It's a YouTube thing.
But yeah, 9 years in the making. The CGI looks fantastic. We don't have much to go on besides 15 seconds of just a damn good-looking video. I usually try not to get excited over just visuals and nothing else, but holy crap. Like, the shots they picked for this little 15-second thing really... Like that's the money shot, maybe.
Right at about 10 seconds... There is a human man who has a blunderbuss, and it seems really awkward to me seeing an actual.
Okay, I think I saw something about this.
But it also is like Uncanny Valley CG. Like, I was talking about that earlier. Like, I can't tell if these are real actors or not, even though the outfits they're wearing are so cartoony. And like, look at the size of his forehead. Like no one. No one has a head that looks like it. Still
first
looks like
Warcraft.
First of all,
yes, Warcraft. They do.
Okay. Look
first of all,
bad.
Yes, they do. Matt's fucking Skype picture is Will Smith, and his forehead is at least two times that size. Second of all, these actually don't look that like that cartoony of armor. Based, like, it's definitely realized or realisticized just a tad.
I'm not,
it's
like
so
that,
it doesn't look like you're looking at a cartoon.
It's like that almost cosplay look that they where they use that like material warbler or whatever.
Using cartoony as a derogative sense. Like, I actually am incredibly impressed by how they managed to balance the style.
Oh yeah, no. Granted, I'm just saying like it doesn't look that cartoony to me. It looks just pretty damn cool. I mean, if you go to like 4 seconds in the trailer, there's a what I assume is Uther holding a sword up, or some king. I don't know, some king guy in fucking Stormwind holding a sword up, and there's some guards there. Yeah, Warcraft generic male with beard. And there's some knights there, and they got some pretty cool armor. It doesn't look oversized.
And the sage over to the right hand side looks it looks like Warcraft.
The sage does not look like he was in there when they filmed.
Yeah, right. Like they stapled him in, and the family looks stapled in as well.
Yeah,
well, it's like
they're moving
still CGI.
They're moving. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. I don't. If the story is fine, like I watch a bad CGI all the time. Like, it's not gonna bother me that much if it's not perfect. You know. But dang, man. I mean, it looks good. And I just keep watching the first 2 seconds, and that's good enough for me.
Oh, where the guy jumps off.
I need a
the
GIF
eagle.
Of that. Yeah.
A GIF. Here we go. Okay.
He's off to save the hobbits in Mordor.
Want to wave, George? Want to wave? Want to ride the wave?
I will swear by my WAV file because there's no E in the extension.
Mm-hmm. But. It doesn't matter because you call it a JPEG and there's no AY after the J.
English.
If you still phonetically pronounced JPEG with the words you see on the screen, then Halo 5 would be the franchise's biggest launch yet. Okay, this topic really surprised me, though, because like we keep seeing fives come up and we keep seeing fives get really good sales numbers. And in like many other mediums, you typically see like a trickle down after the first after the first installment's launch. But Halo, I've been looking it up. It gets higher and higher with every number.
Yeah.
Halo 5 set the franchise record for best-selling day one and just best-selling in general. They got 400 million on day one, week one, that is, 5 billion for the franchise's lifetime. That beats Halo 4, which previously held the record, which also really surprised me because they were handing that off to a new developer years after the regularly scheduled launch cycle, well into the later years of the Xbox 360's life, and still set the record with Halo 4. They got a gross of $220 million on launch day, $300 million on launch week, and that beat Halo Reach, which set the previous record, even though it wasn't a numerical sequel.
Damn.
Yeah, that's really surprising.
It's weird, really weird to me. Every Halo I play, I feel like it loses a little bit of itself, and it keeps selling. But that's, you know, that's the gaming industry in a nutshell, isn't it?
Do you think Destiny not being what it could have been could have played any role in this?
That's an interesting question.
Like, boosted the sale? Well, because Destiny's going good, though.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, like,
yeah, but it's not Halo.
Going good or not, people are salty as fuck over vanilla Destiny. I know I am. I didn't even fucking play it. I don't even own a PS4.
But they made The Taken King and made it good. But yeah, no, like, there was still a lot of negativity and reviews of cycling its vanilla version, but it wasn't the kind of negativity that translated over into sales, like... It was a mainstream success, and I guess it's because of the marketing budget and the from the makers of Halo name. And also because, like, that's the kind of game that's popular in the mainstream right now, like a reliable time sink that will last you a year, like something built for repetition and grinding is fine with the public so long as it just feels good to grind repetitively. Like Blizzard figured that out decades ago. Or maybe a decade ago, but...
Doesn't even feel that good either.
What do you think Hearthstone is?
I don't know. I mean, this... The only thing that I have to say about Halo 5 is fuck you, Microsoft, and fuck you, Bungie, for not putting in split-screen co-op. You've literally destroyed the only thing that made me love Halo so much.
That's so surprising about this news. They broke the record even though... They don't have one of the flagship original features.
Exactly.
So, in that sense, now I have a interesting question.
Yes.
Do you think that their decision to not include a split screen factored into more people buying the game because they didn't have the ability to play it at a friend's house, so they had to play online with their friend?
The tinfoil hat has been applied. Yeah.
I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Like, even if it wasn't intentional, even if it was just to be like, oh, we wanted to preserve our graphics, like, fuck you. Give me a split screen. Played all the Halos in split screen. I've played every N64 Halo game.
Mode and we'll be fine.
I have fucking gone through the campaign with the same friend on every Halo game up to this point.
I am the same way. Legendary.
In the same fucking way.
In the same way. Sitting on the couch, me and him, getting fat. Just playing through the Halo, laughing at the story. That's all we did.
That is the fucking...
Now he has to buy Xbox One.
The magnum opus Halo experience for me is fucking split-screening with my couch buddy, and now it's not possible.
Well, there was an article put on by GameSpot, I know, that was talking about how Halo 5 can't have split-screen because of how the engine was done, but Halo 6, they actually are looking at putting it back in.
No, I bet Halo 5 didn't have split screen because that's just more work to add to their to-do list.
Yeah.
I remember they were also talking, they also did the frame rate justification and said that the physics engine would screw up if it ran at full 60, which they're probably not wrong, but at the same time, don't program your game logic by the frame rate.
Yes.
I wonder how simple that is. Do that. Like, if that's just like obvious or not. I don't know.
When I talk to my engineering friends about it, they get flustered hearing about when games do that. It really, really makes them nervous, which is totally like anecdotal anyway, right? But still,
yeah.
I don't know. Enough games don't do it. Like, I make an excuse for fighting games because fighting games every frame is super duper important and has to matter. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of other things,
but
that
you
are
can play split screen in fighting games.
You don't need split screen in fighting games.
I know. Okay. You can play on the same couch as somebody is all I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm not buying an Xbox One. It's not going to fucking happen. Let me play my damn Halo with somebody.
Matt, you have,
I want to go hang out with Todd.
Yeah.
And now I can't do that.
And I bought it for Halo. I bought it for Halo, dude.
Did you buy Halo?
Yeah. I did not.
Okay.
I did not because I waited for the reviews. No.
I have
the collection. I have the collection and I played through split screen. That's because that's what me and my friend does. We get it and we play through split screen. We do it for every single Halo. Legendary, yeah. Go through it. We have fun. Just because it's Halo, it's nostalgia. You know, we've been doing it for so long, back on PC, landing it up in his garage. You know, like those were the high moments and we just kind of, you know, like, when you don't spend a lot of time with someone, that is that thing that brings you together, and then you just play it. It's that old LAN couch experience, and they took that away. Like I gotta tell them, get an Xbox One now. Like it's just like, why for one game? There's nothing else on the systems.
Yeah,
why?
Is it bad? I mean, is the game
the Xbox
okay?
One or the game?
The game. I heard the story was really short, 4 hours.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Really?
Too. Which is amazing because
and you don't get to play
we're
as Master
in the midst
Chief
of the Order 1886's controversy, which
but the Order 1886 doesn't have a expansive multiplayer community.
Yeah.
Also, it wasn't short and sweet. I heard it was just
it was just short.
Yeah. So I don't know, like it has an 85 on Metacritic, which I don't give a crap about Metacritic, but like the user scores are pretty bad.
That's surprising, especially with Halo, because all throughout the series, I've just known, like I associate Halo with like long levels. Like you don't jump into a Halo level real quick to just like plow through it, like, you know, in like 10 minutes.
It's not a Call
a Halo
of Duty
level is like an
campaign.
hour and a half
strangely
experience.
Memorable level at that.
Yeah, like I can tell you all about fucking Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3. Like
I remember the layout of these giant levels.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Doesn't usually happen.
Remember ODST? That's probably one of the best. The music, everything that was Halo, and just to see this. Like this,
it's
like Halo 4 was weird enough. Now
Halo 4 was very weird.
I Halo 5, I don't even want to touch it for 4 hours. $60 for 4 hours. I don't play the multiplayer like I used to. I'm an old school guy. I'm an old guy. All right. I like my Halo 1, 2, and 3. Okay.
And if anything, that 4 hours would be made a little more,
justifiable.
I would be able to swallow that if I knew that I can go back and play it on different difficulties with a friend on my couch, but I can't. Full circle.
Oh my gosh, I'm actually pretty pissed off.
Fuck you, Monty. AAA fucking games and your no couch bullshit.
No, it's fine. They promised they do it with Halo 6. It's gonna be all right.
They made their money, right? So
I'll just wait for the Halo 5 through or 4 through 6 double remastered on the
Xbox
next box or whatever.
Next
I don't
box,
fucking,
yeah, hey, there we go.
X cube.
Xbox 2?
Xbox full circle. Xbox entirely rotated around.
The Xbox Spheramid.
Or X-Bone. Let's call it X-Bone.
That's
if
the
they
best.
Called it the X-Bone, that would just bring it full circle. Because they called this one the Xbox One. So now what do we call the Xbox?
Yeah.
To differentiate it. Anyways,
enough with that.
We got very, very quickly wrapping up with this like barely an anti-story here. This had me really excited when I saw the headline. And of course, it turned out to be kind of goop. Alan Wake 2 has been confirmed, which is funny because, like, I'm not a super huge fan of Alan Wake, but I felt there was a lot of potential there. But I am a super huge fan of the two Max Payne games that Remedy did before Alan Wake, Anyways, it turns out that the confirmation in this story is an extremely fast series of 101 questions that Game Informer filmed for a borderline novelty video with Sam Lake, in which the interviewer asks, will we ever get to play Alan Wake 2? Sam Lake snaps, yes, in the middle of questions like, will I ever be able to eat myself from the inside out? And also, yes. Do you know how to play? Like joke questions... And then this real thing, and there's just, like, nothing there. And, yeah, whatever. I don't know how seriously we can take this official confirmation.
I mean, as much as I really, really did like Alan Wake 1, I also find it hard to take this seriously because the whole game is based around a pun that the guy's name, when shortened, is A. Wake. Mm-hmm. And fucking hell, that is the whole game in a nutshell.
It really is inspired by that certain horror author...
Yeah.
Anyways, the first two words in the game are Stephen King, and it never lets you forget that. Like,
that's right. I forgot about that.
Most of the words in the game script are probably Stephen or King.
Yeah. I just realized the irony of
what you said.
It'll never let you forget that.
I really love the idea about it, though, and I feel like it kind of got rushed out from its publisher because they originally planned it as a sandbox style. Twin Peaks game, and what we got was a kind of like weird cover shooter Gears of War thing with a horror atmosphere but not really like horror gameplay.
I have to shamefully admit that when you said sandbox, like my mind's Google search immediately fucking filled it in with open world survival horror with light elements of crafting.
Which, I mean, might not have been the case. Like, when they were first pitching it way back when the Xbox 360 was being revealed, the closest comparison was Dead Rising, which is a sandbox game, yes, but might be the closest thing to Majora's Mask that has come out since Majora's Mask, where what you do and where you go in the sidebox in a pre-scripted 3-day cycle determines how the story plays out. That's how replayability happens, and it also gives room for a lot of cool and well-crafted but also player-driven scenarios that developers can play in. And Alan Wake would have been great as that kind of game. It's not necessarily what we got, but there's still potential there. And yeah, this is like the kind of thing where I was like, oh, Alan Wake 2's been confirmed. Why am I not hearing about it on all these other websites? And then I clicked the link and found
out
why.
It's kind of a bullshit confirmation.
It's a bullshit story. But I mean, I don't know. I wanted to talk about it because you guys are my friends and it was an experience I had this week. See, you got it. You got it.
Experience.
All right.
Yeah, we're done.
So the WoW subscribers are down? What's up with that? That got slid to the... Not surprising.
Where did it go?
We were talking about cartoonish armor.
It's right here. It's right here. I'll make it bigger for you. There it is.
Long story short, just because we were actually running quite kind of long already.
Yeah.
Long story short, Blizzard isn't reporting on World of Warcraft subscriber numbers anymore because they said it's essentially not a good metric to judge the game's success on, I suppose.
The real reason is it's going to get lower every year.
Yeah, the real reason is they just don't want to show you. But I mean, like, it's expected. I don't see why it's unexpected. When they're releasing a bunch of games, like, especially time sync games, which is pretty much all that Blizzard puts out, like... It's not surprising that the big Blizzard fans don't play all of them. Like,
it's
when I played Diablo 3, I didn't play any other Blizzard game. When I played World of Warcraft, I did not play any other Blizzard game. When I will eventually be playing Overwatch, I'm not going to be playing Hearthstone. I'm not going to be playing D3. It's like, their games require so much input and so much time, like, to put into it that it just doesn't allow you to play their other games. So when they release so many new games like they have been doing, and I don't know, it's just, it's not surprising.
And then they're starting.
Especially because there's a buffet to pick from with these free-to-play games that are coming out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They're also currently reporting 5.5 million, which is fine. Yeah. Like for a 9-year-old subscription-based MMO in 2015, that's totally fine. I think the runner-up is right now is Final Fantasy 14, which hit 5 million. Very, very close second. Really? But wow. The fact that it took 9 years for something, some other thing to finally catch up. 9 years of WoW clones. The one that actually managed to do it had to be relaunched after a disastrous vanilla launch. And like it's easy to be snarky about them not wanting to report on this number lowering, but the reality is that the number that they're lowering is still astronomically high and kind of an accomplishment to begin with.
Yeah. Mm. And people didn't know the numbers that they reached. They're at like 12 million at one time a few years back. God. It slowly went down.
A moderately sized city.
Yes.
Like a small country.
Ridiculous.
Was World of Warcraft at its peak.
5.5 million is still ridiculous. They're still gonna buy their island, okay, to visit. Yeah. All right, they're still making money.
And I think the reason why I kept skipping over it on the outline was because it blended in with the Warcraft trailer.
Right, that's what I said. We were too busy talking about cartoonish armor.
Yeah. Oh God, I feel really bad about skipping that one out because that's a fun story too. It's like they're too shamed to admit that they're gonna fall under 5 million subscribers.
Yeah. I mean, just again though, it's like when you have, you have D3, you have StarCraft 2, which is still being played a lot, and a new expansion's coming out, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a new D3 expansion is supposedly going to be announced this weekend at BlizzCon.
StarCraft has one
Hearthstone
coming out in 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a StarCraft expansion, a D3 expansion, you have Hearthstone, which is free to play, you have Heroes of the Storm, which is free to play, and you have Overwatch, which is coming soon and is probably going to be free to play. It should not be any surprise to anybody that WoW is going down.
Also, I don't even play Blizzard games, but even then, the ubiquity of them is terrifying. Like, how many other game companies have a convention? There's QuakeCon, and that's the only one I can think of, and it's like pipsqueak in comparison. MineCon exists.
EveCon exists, or is it CC?
It
whatever
does.
They call it. Yeah, there's an Eve Online convention.
Oh yeah,
but
it's
wouldn't there.
I think it's in Iceland or something. So,
no offense to all of our Icelandic listeners,
right?
Well, I mean, when the place is called Iceland, it doesn't exactly sound like a summer vacation.
I mean, it sounds like that sounds like where BlizzCon should be.
Yeah, there you go.
Nice. Wow,
nice.
Okay, is this the part where the cane shows up to snatch Jimmy off the stage?
Yeah. After that happens,
sorry, I was
perfect.
A little late on that.
Of course, no, it's all right. That app should really just be quicker to open.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's the app's fault. It should just come. Right. There should be a button on everyone's cell phone.
Yeah, like lock button, volume buttons, air horn. Yeah.
Anyways.
I hear someone putting up their volume.
I just wanted to make sure that I wouldn't get any unexpected chimes and look what happened. We're gonna wrap up. Thanks, Zek, for showing up.
Yeah, man.
It was great. Great podcast.
Zek?
Yeah.
Zek.
Yeah.
Zek.
Wait a minute. Have I been calling you Zek this whole time?
I don't know. Have you?
I think I've been calling you Zek this whole time. Wow, my mind has been blown. Okay, anyways.
Don't worry. Z-E-C-H. It's Zek.
Yeah. Right. I'll just call you Mr. Frost. Right. Let's call it that.
That's fine.
Sounds cool.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Frost.
Okay. So, speaking of Mr. Frost, where the hell can listeners find you,
well,
Zek,
you can,
and the things that you do?
There's two places. There's, of course, we talked about earlier, but youtube.com/beardboys. I'm on there a lot. And every Saturday, we run, the Beard Boys run the Saturday Night Slam stream over on the That One Video Gamer Twitch stream. And we play with people there, like fighting games and other games, too, like Rocket League sometimes and Splatoon. We have a good time.
Yeah, it is a good time. It's a great little community.
Oh, man, I want to play Splatoon more.
So, dude, me too.
What night is it? Saturday or Sunday?
Every Saturday.
Okay.
It's a good time.
I'm thinking about getting on. What time on Saturdays?
It varies.
It varies, but it usually goes for a long time, and it typically starts around evening time on the East Coast.
Yeah.
That is a general time to catch up.
It's the beginning of the night on the East Coast. Yeah. It's like we try to start around 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
That's our goal, but cool. It doesn't always happen.
Fuck, we didn't talk about the Mario Maker update.
Wait, there was another one? Oh, yeah, the Areno update. Wait, did they do anything else, though?
Wait, did we talk about the Mario Maker update last week?
With the checkpoints, yeah.
Okay, never mind. We talked about it. Where can we find your stuff, Matt?
At Mikael Visual.
God, just say the right thing for once.
Do you want
any followers?
Iceland, we were dissing them, so I had to use an Iceland name. You know?
Oh gosh.
I like to think an Iceland name, it would just be like a string of consonants that would be impossible to say.
Our one listener in Iceland is probably just like, God, you guys, okay, I get it. Fuck.
The only town with internet. Anyway, youtube.com /madfishroom.
Just roasting Iceland for no reason.
Tune in next week where we explain the bush. We may or may not explain it.
Probably
not. So the
not,
name of that Icelandic volcano that erupted a few years ago and canceled everyone's flights was called Eyjaflarg Local.
George, where can we find your content?
YouTube.com/bunnyhop. I was going to say iShark and Flark and Jopal.
Bunnyhop Show is where
yes,
it is.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes if you like the show. Share us with your friends. Don't share us with your mom. She probably won't like it. If she will like it, if you think that's a possibility, then you can. But, you know.
You can find Jimmy at youtube.com/sundergamer.
Yeah, thanks, Zach.
No problem.
I appreciate that. You can also find me on some other shows on youtube.com/beardboys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a cool thing that I'm a part of and Zach is a part of. And we're going to be playing some games on there soon. So go subscribe.
All of our stuff.
Be a friend. Go watch Bob Ross on Twitch.
Friend us on
Facebook.
That's
my favorite thing this week. I should have said that when what things I've been playing.
The crater of the volcano is named Myrdalsk Skull.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye. The bush.